This is the Faith Conversations podcast. Here, we bring people of faith to the table for honest and authentic conversations about personal faith journeys and what it is like to have a personal relationship with God. Hi, friends. Welcome to the Faith Conversations podcast. This is Jessica Cabrera, your host. Man, today I'm super excited to be sitting down with a very dear friend of mine, Karen Baker. Karen and I serve together in the Working Women Honor God Ministry here in the Northern Virginia area, and she is about to move to another city. And so, honestly, I feel like today's conversation is commemorative in a way of her time and service in this area, as well as some time that she and I have had to serve together as friends and co-laborers for the Lord. So I'm super excited for everyone to hear her faith journey story today and how God has worked in her life. So Karen, thank you so much for being here.
I'm so glad to be here with you.
Okay. Well, everybody needs to get to know you a little bit. So if you'll tell us a bit about your background and also your background of faith, how you came to know the Lord or how you ended up in a personal relationship with God.
I grew up all over the place. I was an army brat.
Okay.
Came from a very loving background, great, tight-knit family. Just my mom and father and my brother, very, very close. As we moved around, you know, we had extended family, of course.
And did you move around domestically and internationally? Or
Mostly domestically. Okay. My brother was the lucky one. After I graduated from high school, from high school in Frederick County, Maryland, I wound up going to University of Maryland, and then my brother and mother and dad moved to Germany after my freshman year.
Oh, they got the deployment whenever you were still stateside.
Yeah, it was kind of fun because I got to go over and visit them from time to time.
Oh, that is nice.
Yeah, but my brother got all 4 years of high school over there.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so he was 5 years younger than me. But great family life. We grew up with what we call kind of Christian values, definitely.
Yeah.
About, you know, definitely the golden rule. And there was, you know, was involved in scouts. And of course, we through the army and all the things that my folks did in the military, very much a dedication to service.
Mm-hmm.
And
like a values driven,
very values driven family life. And all those things exemplified in everything that I saw. Yet it was not really encouraged. It was never discouraged. It just wasn't encouraged to become involved in church. We didn't go to church regularly.
Mm-hmm.
I had friends who did. I had opportunities. A friend who I used to visit. We stayed in touch all the time during my dad's army career. And so I went and would stay with them from time to time, wherever they were stationed. And got that, you know, got that exposure. My mom's mom, my grandmother, very devout, very much very active in her church. And so if I was visiting, I was going to church, and I got exposed to all of that. I can definitely go to Mass anytime and recite all of the things.
Right.
So it was just, it was there, but it
you
wasn't.
You were exposed to it, but it wasn't part of your day-to-day living.
Exactly.
And it wasn't.
So I was always seeking, I guess I should say, because I think that this is something I was always interested in. My grandmother on my dad's side, whom I was very close to, died when I was about 9 years old. Mm-hmm. And I always had this idea that I was going to see her again.
Okay.
Very much, you know, it said it wasn't encouraged, but it wasn't discouraged. So I had a children's Bible. I read that. I was very, very interested in who God was and what that meant to me, and how to become closer to him. Mm-hmm. And I think, yeah, as I said, it was always more of a seeking kind of thing, but I think I associated a lot, especially given being exposed to things like the Catholicism with the rituals and such, that it was very much about what I did and that kind of strict, there's some sort of formula I was supposed to follow, or I was supposed to understand what religion I was supposed to be. And I didn't really, all I can say is that was just not something that I actively, it was something that was always part of my internal, you know, searching as a kid and as a young adult, but it wasn't something I really was actively seeking in any kind of routine, formal way.
So then what happened?
Well, like, I'll say that, you know, went to University of Maryland, met my now husband. We've been married for 30 plus years now, and he came up in a very similar background. I would say same similar thing. God was a concept, but it wasn't there wasn't a regular church exposure there as well. And so getting to the point in time where we had to get married, it's like, where are we going to get married? Well, obviously for us, it was like a no-brainer. We're going to get married at the University of Maryland Chapel, which was great.
Okay.
But who's going to marry us? And at that point in time, my parents were back in Maryland and at Fort Detrick. And so my dad says, you should talk to the Army chaplain. And so he was great. And we got married. And we were, you know, had those conversations about faith at that point in time. And then kind of fell into life. And what does that mean? And how do we, you know, how are we going to raise our kids? We had those kind of conversations, but I think we were still both just unsure about what that looked like.
Right.
So I think I would describe both of us as seeking and open to it, but not really even knowing how to go about it.
Right.
So fast forward a bit, and got two kids, and I'm working at that point in time in the Pentagon, and I have been coming up through the sort of the career ranks in Army Public Affairs, and found myself in 2001 at the Pentagon working media relations. So not too hard to put together as you start to think about
anybody
this.
Anybody knows anything about American history?
Yeah, and we're now on the 25th anniversary. On September 11th, 2001, and people ask me my story, where were you on 9/11? I have to say I was standing in corridor 6 as the plane ripped through corridor 4 and 5. So major changes right away, obviously. I was very fortunate. I was standing in the hallway with a very dear friend of mine, another Army civilian who was working in the public affairs arena, and we quickly were able to exit the building. It was maybe not as simple as said, there's a lot of confusion,
but when
you're with the Army, there's a bit of a calm even in the worst kind of circumstances. Actually, the exact time when the plane hit the building, my friend and I had just been coming back from the coffee shop. So I had my purse on me, which meant I had my phone, was able to do certain things like once we got out of the building, I had one of those big bricks, if you think about that point in time, with that walkie-talkie kind of feature. Talked to my husband, able to get a hold of him that day. And it really wasn't until I had some time to think about it, really understand where God had been. First of all, I will say that calm that came over me, I had this sense that somebody was with me and just telling me you're going to be all right. And then after that, we went immediately into 24/7 media operations. I had the opportunity to kind of come in the second shift, and I didn't come to the building right away. Our offices were actually destroyed, not by the actual impact, but the sprinklers went off in that area. And so we had water damage and we weren't able to go back in. But I wound up, interesting now, just a metro stop away from where I live now, at the Hoffman Building, which is where the Army's personnel command is. And they were setting up a shop where they were taking in the 24/7, you know, they were running it nonstop, trying to get an accountability. No one had ever really thought about what it was going to be like to have civilians in this kind of a line of fire.
Right.
And so they really didn't have a system for how people called in and said, hey, I'm okay.
Interesting.
And know that they had accounted for everybody who had been in the building that day. And so I came in, and I had been staying in touch with all of my coworkers and begging, you know, where can I be? Where can I help? And finally got a call. Hey, can you come out here? We're exhausted. We need some more people. We need some reinforcements out here. And I was glad to do it. And wound up being there helping to tell that story. What we found was that while we had the calls lined up for accountability, the media didn't really know where to call to get information. And so the soldiers that were manning those lines were getting phone calls from CNN and others while they were supposed to be trying to take in calls from Pentagon employees. And so we started to take that burden off of them and help with the media facilitation. So during that time, I had the opportunity to work with people who had been in the building, who were had stories to tell. Some people who had done some very heroic things. And while I was helping to facilitate some of that, we were also working on the announcements of the casualties. And that was a new thing,
so
I think.
Hard. Right.
You get trained a lot. When you work for the Army, I'm sure there's no doubt and understand we were trained in how you handle the deaths of soldiers. That's something I went to school. I went to the Defense Information School, had 8 weeks of solid training. There is a formula to that. But nobody knew how to do this with civilians. And the military head of that public affairs office was going through this and being very frustrated. And he kind of handed it to me and said, hey, take a look at this. How would you organize this? And it was then when I looked at that I knew that some people were on that list that I knew that who had died. And I'm trying to be very professional, do what I need to do. But I had experienced that.
Yeah.
And then I learned as I reached out to the offices that I had served with, where those people were working, that a friend of mine, also a coworker, had been burned in 60% of his body.
Oh, goodness.
And so one of the things that I took over, I'm making a very long story, very as short as I possibly can, is I jumped in and said, hey, I'm not necessarily on the team that usually works with the family or the personnel issues, but because this is, these are my friends, because this is the community I serve typically when I was doing my media relations, is I want to be part of helping them. And so I got very exposed at that point in time to, and I can share, you know, Brian Birdwell, very well-known story that he was actually went on to be a state senator in Texas, and he's actually back in the area now serving at the Pentagon again. He and his wife were going through, you know, just this terrible time of obviously with, you know, the burns that he had experienced and not knowing whether he was going to live or die, and the tremendous media pressure that was coming in at that same time. And so I helped with that, and through helping, I had an opportunity to see faith in action.
Oh, interesting.
They had such a tremendous faith.
Really?
And a real belief that they had been believers, very active in their church, and they knew God was going to get them through this.
Mm-hmm. You could see them leaning on God.
Could see it and watch it in action.
Mm-hmm.
And so they would, you know, not just the story of how Brian survived, but the little things they did. As I would go and help escort them and facilitate a media event, and they'd pray beforehand. And those kind of things really impacted me.
You saw that it was genuine and personal for them.
Yes.
And not just, like, if I think back to what you shared about your childhood or your exposure, that it may have seemed a little bit more calculated, you know, and not as personal as what you were observing with them. And now you're seeing, oh my gosh, they actually depend on this God. They lean on
this
God.
They lean in. Yeah. Mel talked about one day how she wasn't feeling well, and she had dropped her aspirin, and she's like, I'm praying to God to, you know, to find, please let me find this. Please help me with this. And I'm thinking, is that something you pray for? Is that something you do? And the fact, just the leaning in on the every single little thing that they did, it was amazing to watch that.
Okay, yeah.
And to see that.
So did observing them and their faith in action really impact your faith? And
it did. It did. There was a presence that I just couldn't explain.
Mm-hmm.
And for example, I would be doing an interview with a family member who had lost somebody, and helping them to facilitate that with the media. And I would get this just wave of feeling, and it would be this intense sadness or loneliness. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you got to the point after you had done this so many times, you've heard the story. I always say that I felt like I lived 9/11 over and over. Mm-hmm. From about September to November, because
from the vantage point of all of these people,
we were always telling the story. When we were back in, when I was back in the Pentagon, we were giving tours. The Army offices were the most hit. We had the most casualties, and so there are lots of stories about just the civilians and who went to work there and what happened to them.
It seems like the spiritual realm started to become more evident to you.
Yeah, it really opened up at that point in time.
Yeah.
And also, as we started to, the building started to be rebuilt, they built a new chapel there, the Pentagon Chapel, and that was steps away from where I was working. So,
okay.
So having that opportunity
did
and
you
having
start going?
That, I did.
Okay.
I did. And I think that there was a bit of a, I'll be honest, a fear almost of, hey, I need to start to tap into this. I need to start doing this. I need to figure out where I stand with God.
Mm-hmm.
Because here I was in this building and I survived this time.
Right.
But how many more chances will I get?
Right.
And I don't think we felt safe after that. I think we felt safe that day. I even joked about with my friend that, you know, when the planes hit the Twin Towers, that, oh, we're in the safest building in the world, we're fine. And then to have that happen,
right.
So mm-hmm. the idea that this could happen again, the terrorists weren't done, my life was at risk going into this building every day, it was time for me to figure this out.
Reckon with God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So not long before the anniversary of September 11th, on the first anniversary on 2002, mm-hmm. I made the step to get baptized, and I got baptized in the Pentagon Chapel.
Wow.
And the Pentagon Chapel, if you ever get an opportunity, it's a beautiful place. As I said, it was rebuilt right where that plane had hit the building.
Wow.
And it's really a tribute to those we lost there.
Right.
So it was significant.
Yes.
In so many ways for me to do that there.
Wow, that's beautiful.
And as I talk about that thread of Army chaplains, it was an Army chaplain that I spoke to at that time as I was deciding that I wanted to do this and declare my faith. And I was still caught up in this, I don't know how to do this right. Mm-hmm. And I remember talking to him and saying, I just don't know. The challenge is, I don't know what religion I'm supposed to be.
Hmm.
Because I had grown up with so many different ones and exposed to so many. And I said, I thought I had to choose something. And he said, Karen, Jesus didn't say, come be a Methodist or come be a Presbyterian.
Yeah.
He said, follow me.
Yes.
And that's all he's asking you to do. And I was like, really? And this had been a question all my entire life.
Interesting. Yeah.
And for that realization. So.
Yeah. I don't think you're alone there. I think that there are many people that probably have that perception that they have to choose like what, quote unquote, church to attend. And really, Jesus just said, follow me, you know? Yeah, that's amazing. And what a beautiful, like, it's like a convergence of grief and joy, right? In that chapel in the Pentagon where you were baptized.
Yeah, so many people always say, oh, I'm sorry that happened mm-hmm. to you. And I am sorry for all the loss and the pain that people went through.
Mm-hmm.
But it is a mixed
yeah.
thing for me in that it's...
It's like a pivotal time for your faith.
Pivotal time for yeah. the faith. I saw so many miracles. I saw so many people who were not at their desks, who were supposed to be, who
right.
survived.
Yes.
And so mm-hmm. many people who leaned on God to move through this. And there's definitely a time where you could be much more open in talking about what had happened about
yeah.
the faith. And there's just, as you had said before, there's just like a spiritual presence
yeah.
all there and everything yeah. we're doing.
I find that to be the case in disasters in general, natural disasters and things like that. Whenever it's extreme darkness, extreme grief, that where there's also this you know, incredible presence of redemption and beauty that it, that will often surface out of those dark places. Like after a hurricane, where a community of people from all over the country will show up for recovery efforts, ministering to one another, feeding one another, clothing one another, building homes for one another. You know what I mean? And it's like that, that like surge of love and service and community would have never occurred without that horrible thing that happened. But at the same time, no one would want that horrible thing to happen, you know? So we get to see how beauty truly does come out of ashes at times.
Oh, absolutely. And I think that for me and the work that I was doing then, I felt like I was doing what exactly what I needed to do. I was helping people. I was serving at that point in time, and it was so important. And I just felt like I had never been in a place where I was more needed and needed to be there and meant to do what I was doing. And so that meant a lot. It was a long, very arduous time, very emotional. As I said, it felt like one long day until we finally got some time off, like around Thanksgiving time. We were getting it from all sides in our family because my husband's company was very impacted by what was happening in New York, and he had to go and be at ground zero. So you felt like you couldn't escape it. We were living it. I mean, the whole country was living it, but we felt like we were very living it very personally and up close. But I think that that's definitely something we also saw was just the overwhelming goodness. I mean, in the Pentagon, people were sending us things. We had blankets, quilts people had made, all kinds of beautiful things. It was just great to see how America came together. And I think that definitely influenced where I went later in my career, because I actually got into working with some disaster recovery work as well during my time with the Corps of Engineers. And that that sense of being there and being at the front line when everything is going down, and how important that is. And
So I'm curious, because as you mentioned, that was about 25 years ago. And so clearly it was a pivotal time for you and your life, your career, your faith. And I wanted, if we could just think from that point to now, and you've been journeying with the Lord, you've been walking with the Lord ever since then. I know you, you know, in the years that we've been friends, to be a woman that is, not only walking with the Lord, but following the Lord. And you've had a handful of life transitions just in the few years that we've known each other, where I've watched you pray, lean on the Lord, depend on your relationship with God for guidance, and his presence has been very active in your life. I'm wondering if you can tell us, what have you learned about God over this time? What is the what characteristics of God really pop out for you? And what would you say your big takeaways are from about who God is for those who are listening?
Well, definitely from that time, I can talk about how he's ever present and is always seeking you. Sometimes you don't necessarily realize that, know how he is there.
Right.
But I think one of the things that if there's a theme through my life, and I think about how I've lived my life and what's in my personal life as well as in professionally, is I think a lot about Proverbs 16:3, which is commit to the Lord in whatever you do, and he will establish your plans. Because wherever I had these great plans, he had different ideas, and he steered me to other things. And having that faith and trust in him and really leaning in led to some very amazing things. And so learning to trust that and knowing that he has bigger plans than you do, it was very, very important.
Yeah, I hear you saying, obviously, ever present. Also that he leads, that he establishes our steps, that he has plans that are, you know, we are often unaware of, and that he is, you know, leading us on that path, which is amazing, right? Can we just can we just say for a second, that's pretty remarkable. I mean, that God would involve us in his plans and that he would actually reveal these things to us while we're living
that
on earth.
That he spends 1 minute thinking about me is something that took me a long time to get my mind around, how much he loves us. And with all of the things that he does and all of the amazing things that he cares for each one of us.
Yeah.
And is thinking about how those plans weave together for his good. It's amazing. Yeah.
And I think he cares about the aspirin that fell on the floor that she couldn't find, that she was praying to him, but like, where is it? Can you help me find it? He cares about every single little thing. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think just his overall goodness and his ability to make good things happen even when things seemed the darkest. And I've seen that over and over again.
Right.
In my life.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. So when we think about relationship with God and this personal relationship with God, which clearly you transitioned over these years through these experiences from this kind of like faraway God that is just kind of like, I'm supposed to worship him, I'm supposed to have these good values and whatnot, to this very personal, present God that you lean on for every breath you take, you know? And so I'm just curious, first, is if you have anything to share about what you think is important for people to remember whenever they are thinking about having a relationship with God.
So what always comes to me that I think is important is, you know, I think about in John 14:27, where Jesus says, "My peace I leave you, and I do not offer you peace as the world." And I'm paraphrasing, obviously, but
I don't give as the world gives.
I don't give as the world gives. Yeah. Yes, I wish that everybody could feel that peace. And I'm not going to say that it came to me as this overwhelming peace and I always had it, but I think more and more I have leaned into that. And as I watch people struggle, that's all I want for people, is to have that and to know that that's something that it's a minute away. It's just something that you can tap into. I was very blessed. Last summer had the opportunity to teach a class on Cricket Keefe's Bible study on Gift of Rest. And I also became very aware of how many people are trying to tap into rest in our culture tells you to take a sleeping pill, or to you just have to find this inner peace, or here's the app that
10 tips of self-care that are going to give you rest.
Yeah. Come to this app and meditate and you're going to get rest. And it's like, okay, I'm not going to be critical of anybody who does that. But also, there's this rest and there's this peace that's available to you at any time.
It's the living water of the well that never runs dry, right? It's just this heavenly rest that we can tap into.
Yeah, I think it's also important to note, as I tell my story, that I didn't instantly, you know, become a Christian and then figure it all out.
Of course, right.
I spent a lot of time still after that, I think, searching. My husband and my kids also, we made the choice for them to get baptized also in the Pentagon Chapel shortly after. But we still were trying to find a home church. And I think coming to a community church that doesn't ask you to choose which line of Christianity you want to be, non-denominational, was very helpful. I first started really tapping in and getting into Bible studies. Did my very first Bible study then.
Yeah.
And then one of those things when God taps you and you weren't really planning on it, somebody said, you know, you really should be thinking about teaching.
Yeah.
And that's nowhere in my thought process.
I know, it's a constant journey of growth, right? We're never done learning. It's so true to remember that it is a journey. It's not like a one day you're in the dark, the next day you're light, and then you have arrived. You know what I mean? it is very much a journey, which is why we talk about journeys on this podcast, of faith journeys, right? These are life stories. These are not just salvation stories. And I think looking at how God moves in and walks with us, and we walk with him and follow him over time, and that he is truly a personal God that is with us always, and that we can lean on and trust. I think trusting him, even when things don't make sense to us, is something that is truly invaluable. So would you please give maybe a word of advice to anyone out there who might be struggling to believe right now as we wrap up?
I think the advice that I would give is keep seeking.
Yeah.
I kept seeking.
Yeah.
And little did I know God was right there the whole time. I took a while for me to notice and right. understand that. And I realize that more and more now. We spend a lot of time talking about prayer, talking about study. And then there's that, how do you listen for that quiet voice?
Mm-hmm.
But if you seek,
you will find.
You will find.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Thank you so much, Karen. And thank you for sharing. This has been awesome.
Go to the description of today's episode to find more information about what we discussed. If you like this podcast, please click follow, share it with a friend, or leave us a review. And get excited because new episodes release every week.